Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, Podcast Health, or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much. This is 1254B, and I'm your host, Dr. Mike Roizen. 1254B, since we do 50 a year, I guess that means we've been doing this over 24 years. Hope you've been enjoying this. Today, we have a special guest for you, as usual with the B segments. The A's are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. The B's, wonderful guests. Today, Dr. Glenn Robison, R-O-B-I-S-O-N. He's the author of Healthy Dad, Sick Dad, a wonderful book. But we're going to talk about his specialty in medicine, which is podiatry, or he's a physician or doctor of the foot, if you will. So let's get right to it. Dr. Robison, before I get to it, I almost forgot to put our advertisers in. The two advertisers are For Youngevity, youngevity.com, For Youngevity, to indicate it's not just living longer, but living younger longer, that's key. And the other one, lifesfirstnaturals.com, lifesfirstnaturals.com. You can go to their website and see the double-blind randomized controlled trials for bovine colostrum and their Trubiotic, or their probiotic called Trubiotics, and of course their pediatric colostrum product, which is very helpful for pediatric diarrhea, but also useful for decreasing the symptoms when you change one of the doses of the GLP-1s, Dye Rescue. Back to our guest today, Glenn Robison, who is a podiatrist, a surgeon trained in the foot, but let's talk about what he normally sees and does. So talk to us about how common are foot problems.
Oh, very common. I think everybody that lives on this earth will have some form or degree of some form of a foot problem, whether that be an ingrown toenail, a bunion, neuropathy, broken ankle. So there's a gamut of many things that happen within the foot.
Let's talk about bunions, then the one that I get to see in the older patients commonly, paresthesias and numbness, especially on walking on the foot. But let's first talk about bunions. What's a bunion?
So bunion is technically a dislocation or subluxation, which means that the big toe is just shifting over to the other toe. So you create this little bump on the side of the foot. Most people think that it's just genetic, you know, mom, dad had it, grandma and grandpa had it, so I'm going to have it. And that's what we've been taught in school. They also say that certain shoe wear, like high heels, will also exacerbate that bunion. But over the course of the years, I have come to conclude that bunions are actually, exacerbated by shoes. And yes, they are associated with a family member from a distant relative, but bunions are actually identified in the opposite shoulder. Why do I say that? Every patient that comes into my office, I will look at their bunion, and if their bunion, let's say, is on the right side, there's something going on between their neck and their shoulder in the mid-back on that opposite side. So if it's a right bunion, it's a left shoulder. If it's a left bunion, it's the right shoulder. They're always amazed that, like, I never told you that on my medical record. So I go into depth on that, but the tension in the upper body creates a dynamic force in the lower body. So the body wants to be in balance, whether it be nutrition or whether it be life in general. I find that in deformities in the foot. If we are stressed in, say, our mind of something that's going to worry us the next day, we get tension in our shoulders. Or there, you know, the other opposite thing is if we have an injury to our shoulders or upper back, that affects the feet. And how does it do that? Well, without us even knowing about it, our toes and our big toe starts to grip and it starts to help balance the body out. We're just not aware of it. Like I said, with time, it continues to get more dislocated, and then eventually they just end up in surgery. So I had a particular case myself a few years ago where my right bunion developed. Yes, my mom had them, but it just overnight, I woke up and it was sore, it was tender, but I had been going through a stressful period of time in my life at that time. And I'm like, okay, I'm trained to cut these things, I'm trained to fix these things, but is there any other option out there besides surgery? And over the course of, I would say within the course of a few months, I was actually able to bring my bunion back. And now you can't even tell I have a bunion.
So did you do this with stress management? How did you cure that bunion? What was it?
Okay, so yes, stress management, absolutely. Getting out of my mind is a key element because really I never had a shoulder injury. So it was all leading to an event of a situation I was in. So I had to kind of take myself out of that. But then I started working the shoulders. And so I always tell patients, work your neck and your shoulders, put heat on them. Do not put ice up there. Get a good massage. Sometimes you need some adjustment in that upper back area to relieve the tension. But from a point from on the feet, there's three stretching techniques that I show the patient. And the one that I can explain here on the radio is just the basic calf stretches. And always have your heel on the ground and your toe pointed at 12 o'clock. Don't leave the toe pointed at 11 on the left or 1 o'clock on the right. But keep the foot flat on the ground and stretch that calf muscle. You'll see that the calf muscle is very, very tight. And then there's two other stretches I'll have the patient do. I pretend that they're itching the floor or they'll pull a towel towards them by all their toes and helps that movement. And then the other stretching exercise is kind of difficult to explain on the radio, but I'm going to try it. But you put your heel on the ground, your big toe on the ground, so there's about 1 inch off the ground on your little toe. And then you try to splay that little toe out, so all the toes just splay out. And that helps that there's a muscle in that forefoot called the abductor hallucis. It gets atrophied with these chronic bunions. And so that helps to strengthen that little intrinsic muscle. I'm throwing all these medical terms out there, but this muscle inside your foot, that is, it's a great exercise for that, and it helps draw that over. So those are the things I tell patients to do. And then there's one other thing I do in clinic, but yeah, trying to describe that would be kind of difficult. So
got it. So thank you for, so in a bunion, it is often the opposite shoulder. Is to summarize it, and again, we're talking with podiatrist Dr. GlenRobison.com is the website. Dr. Glenn Robison is the website. And so with a bunion, it is often the opposite shoulder, and stress management may be some massage or chiropractic on the upper back, as well as some stretching exercise for the feet. The other thing I wanted to cover in depth today, if possible, is what you do about paresthesias, or what people call a feeling of pain or irritation or numbness, described variously in older populations, often associated with insulin resistance or diabetes. Is there anything people can do specifically with a foot to help manage that?
Oh, absolutely. There's one thing that I definitely do with this neuropathy-like symptoms that I've been treating well over 25 years with success. I mean, my success for diabetic neuropathy is into the 90 percentile. But the first thing I have to do is ask the right questions. And so when a patient comes in, I specifically start asking questions to decipher, is it neuropathy or is it a pinched nerve? And I would say a majority of the time, they don't have neuropathy. They usually have a pinched nerve in their foot. I'll throw the medical terminology out there. It's called tarsal tunnel, or they have a Morton's neuroma or interdigital neuroma that presents the same way. Sometimes these neuromas, if they're compressed long enough, they will cause numbness in the toes. And so what I find these patients will come to me and they've been placed on a neuropathy medication, but they're saying, hey, doc, you know, it's not working. So I will do a simple test for neuropathy in clinic. And then there's one that I do with the machine that no needles involved, but it's pretty accurate. Once I establish if it is neuropathy and if it's just a pinched nerve in the foot, then I'll move forward. If it's neuropathy, this is where I've had great success with my diabetics. Infrared treatments I've been doing for well over 20 years. And when they have the treatment, it's called Anodyne. I don't even think it's around anymore, but it was a company out of Colorado when I first was into practice and I got this machine and I started treating these patients and they started getting better with infrared. Now, I will also take it a step further. I also change their diet. In my book, Healthy Dad, Sick Dad, I have them read chapter 10, which has a diabetic diet in there. So I'm making sure that their blood sugars are in normal values. If they're high, then it defeats the purpose. They need to discuss with their doctor if they're on medications such as statins. Statins are notorious for causing neuropathy. And then also, there's a diabetic medication that most doctors will put patients on called metformin. That also causes neuropathy. So there has to be an open discussion about alternative medicine that can be used for the patient from the family doctor. Can they be doing something else than the statin drugs, or is there another better choice of a diabetic medication? But yeah, it's a great modality if they have access to an infrared device.
How long do they go on the infrared, or do they shine the infrared at their foot?
Yeah, and I place it on the feet, and they're there for 45 minutes. I have to place it over an arterial supply area, so that allows it to release nitric oxide out of the bloodstream, which in turn starts to stimulate the nerve tissue. You're seeing more and more infrared modalities coming up for people with pain and all that stuff, but it definitely helps neuropathy. So they'll come in twice a week for 1 month, and they have to be precise. They can't miss one. And after that 1 month, if they've stabilized their blood sugar and they've done the treatments, they have feeling back in their feet. The one unfortunate thing is now that they feel their feet, that sometimes the lumps and bumps that they never felt, they can feel their feet. So it's not my intention, but they do feel that.
Where is the tarsal tunnel? I suppose it's like the carpal tunnel. So tell us about the tarsal tunnel and what you do for tarsal tunnel syndrome.
Okay, so tarsal tunnel is right below your inner ankle bone called the medial malleolus. And you go about 1 inch directly below that and just feel around. If you push and there's a sharp pain in that area, it's more likely tarsal tunnel. It's often coincides with plantar fasciitis. And so a lot of times with people coming plantar fasciitis, they actually have tarsal tunnel and it's exacerbated in the heel when you push on it. So it's in that area. When I pick up on tarsal tunnel, that tells me something's not tracking right in the ankle or in the midfoot called the calcaneal cuboid joint. And so I will always assess that and try to release those two joints. Once I release them, then the tension in that ankle and that foot a lot of times goes away. If it doesn't go away, then I will pinpoint the area and do an injection therapy, which can consist of lidocaine, a very, very low dose of bupivacaine, which are anesthetics. And then I put about 1/16 to 1/8 of a cc Kenalog, which is a steroid. So they're not getting a lot of steroid at all. And if I can blanket that nerve area, it is very effective. And they usually never need to go on to and have another shot.
That's wonderful. So we've been talking with Dr. and time has gone way too fast, as it often does, with Dr. Glenn Robison, drglenrobison.com is his website. He is also the author of a very popular book, Healthy Dad, Sick Dad, and obviously has a great knowledge of podiatry, which is his skill set. And I think I've learned an awful lot about the paresthesia and other problems associated with pain and numbness in the feet, as well as learned something I never knew about, was that the bunions are often associated with pain in the opposite shoulder. We're sponsored, as usual, by LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Trubiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. Dye Rescue, anecdotally, 2 days before, 3 days the day of, and 2 days after a change in dose of the GLPs takes care in 60% of people of the nausea, vomiting, constipation, or diarrhea often associated with a shot or with a change in the dose. And of course, for longevity, that's the number four, longevity, Y-O-U-N-G, E-V-I-T-Y .com, to tell you that it isn't just you want to live longer, but you want to live with the vigor of youth as you age older. Thank you, Dr. Robeson, for being our guest, but especially thank you, our listeners. 50,000 of you a week can't be wrong. Do tell your friends about us. If you want to read a blog, it's michaelfroisenmd.substack.com. You can find me there every Thursday with a new blog subject. And again, thank you for downloading us. Do tell your friends about us. Come back next week. We'll be here.